Have you ever read the Bible and gotten confused? You ever talk to someone about the scriptures and fail to understand just what it is they're trying to say? The reason is very simple. In the gospel lesson today, we have the teaching of the two most basic things in all of the scriptures. The two things which must be distinguished, kept distinct from one another, for the scriptures to be clear, especially when you try to relate them to your own life. Those two things are the law and the gospel, or as the lesson puts it today, the commandments and the Son of God. Sometimes people will err and they will think that the gospel means that a person is free from following the law. So that way you can just keep going on in sins that you know are sins and still yet try to claim to remain to be a Christian. But that's not properly understanding the law and the gospel. That's licentiousness, and it's a gross perversion of the scriptures. Sometimes people err and think that the Christian faith is all about following rules, having the right political views, something like the old moral majority. But that's not properly understanding the law and gospel either. The worst is when people look at the law and they think that they have kept it for their salvation, thinking that their works have gained their forgiveness and their life. Sadly, far too many times, people who do not understand the law will then not understand the gospel, and people who fail to grasp the gospel will certainly also fail to grasp the law. But when these two things are held just right, a great and brilliant light begins to shine in hearts and in minds. The light of the sacred scriptures. The Pharisees did not understand the law. They were doctors of it, but they did not understand it. They did not have a clue about the gospel either. Because honestly, they didn't think they needed the gospel. Which again is because they did not understand the law. So Jesus sharpens it for them. He shows them by the law as he would show us by the same law the way things were for Adam back in Eden in perfection, the way things were, loving God, loving the neighbor. And then he uses the same law. He shows us by the law how things should be now, loving God, loving the neighbor. But this is hard, because hearing this now shows us just how far we've fallen, just how much we owe, just what is our debt, and just how we fail to get out of our debts towards God, just how much we sin against Him and against our neighbor rather than love. But the complete teaching of the law includes not only the past perfection of Eden and then the present guilt of our fallen state, but then it also includes the future state of our resurrected bodies and souls. That there is coming a day, and you will again on that day love God with everything you are, and on that day you will love your neighbor as yourself as well. That at the last day, this is indeed what the case will be for every Christian. So we don't take God's law and throw it away or shrug off its teaching for now. The law is eternal, and we will absolutely keep it in perfection on the last day. We will become what we were supposed to be before sin. But here we have to examine ourselves. The law will not give us any comfort. Each time we look upon it, or rather let it look upon us, we will discover just how treacherous we are, that it is impossible for your nature to keep the law in the present. Just a few examples. When you look at the joys in your life, the things that bring you the most happiness, are they the Word of God or something else? What gets your attention the most? Did you spend more devotion this past week thinking about your money or wealth, or maybe keeping up with national political situations, or maybe some other thing? Or did you spend more devotion cherishing the Word of God? And when you were devoted so much to money or wealth or politics or whatever it was, what did that drive you to do? Did it drive you to pray more? Which would put a bigger smile on your face if you came home today and found $1 million waiting for you? Or if you came home to the news that your side was winning in national politics? Or hearing a faithful sermon based upon the Word of God? Loving God means loving Him more than everything else, anything else. Pondering that will reveal just how many other things take the front seat for all of us in our lives. So it is necessary, in the present, that we hear then the teaching of the gospel. That we cannot keep the law, though it must be kept, and we will someday keep it again. But how do we get through the here and the now to then and there, to that point? How do we approach eternity with anything other than our sins, front and center for every heavenly thing to gasp at in shock and horror? How do we get there? The second teaching, that of the Son. What do you think about the Christ? Whose Son is He? This is what's happened. You couldn't keep the law. So the Christ, the Son of David, born of the Virgin Mary, and also the Son of God, David's Lord, begotten of the Father from all eternity, on your behalf, has interceded for you. That on your behalf, He asked the Father to forgive your sins, that you do not love God or your neighbor as you should. That He asked the Father to forgive your sins because He would take them upon Himself. That not only would He take what was yours, but then of course He would live the life that you couldn't live. That He kept and fulfilled perfectly the law. That He loved the Father purely and perfectly with everything He is. And indeed, He showed Himself to love His neighbor as Himself, to love indeed the whole world as well. Every single neighbor, He showed this by shedding His blood. His crucifixion is His keeping of the commandment to love God and love the neighbor. That He fulfilled the law, not for His own benefit, not for His own blessing, but for the blessing of everyone else, for your benefit and for your blessing, that you would receive the benefit of Christ's fulfillment of the law and that you would come to grace, that you would find your fulfillment by having faith in Him. This grace is not shown. This forgiveness is not given, however, that you would continue to revel in sin or wallow in it, or that you would forsake the law. Instead, the message of the gospel is so that you would begin indeed to keep the law, albeit very weakly, because of the weakness of your flesh. That Christ Jesus has asked the Father to forgive you, and indeed he does that daily and richly by his Spirit in his church, that what we owe is not counted by the Father because of the Son. But there is another thing that Christ does. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He allows and sends his kingdom to come to us that we would believe his holy word and lead godly lives according to it. That this is the beginning of what will finally be completed on the last day. That when we are given the Holy Spirit, our hearts begin to love God and indeed love our neighbor. This is what we call regeneration. The regeneration of the Spirit which God works in us and the love that he works through us unto those around us. That we are not free to neglect the law, but instead we must mortify the things in us which fight against the law, the sinful flesh and its evil desires. That we do that, that the Spirit's work of the new man, the new creature created in Christ Jesus, would indeed continue day by day to emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That this is our present life. We don't have the perfection of Eden. We don't have the perfection of the last day. But we stand forgiven under the perfection of Jesus. Our trespasses stand forgiven. What we owe is forgiven. That the Spirit works through his inspired word and the holy sacraments to daily and to richly forgive those sins and those trespasses in this life in God's kingdom of grace. That because of the Son, the Father will always stand to give. Will always stand to forgive, will always bear with us, that the Father will always look upon us and our works like a father beholds a childhood craft of his loved child, the blemishes and mistakes covered by the blood of Christ, and that this continues all of our baptized lives until we are buried. Again, Christ helps us in these two ways. That first, he stands for us in our place before the Father, and he covers us by his innocent blood. He cloaks our shame. He takes our guilt upon himself. And then second, he nourishes and feeds us. He gives us his Holy Spirit, new life and strength so that we begin to love God and love our neighbor. That Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, works through the Word and the sacraments in this time of grace, this time of forgiveness, to do just that for you in the present, so that indeed your future would be settled, that your future would be firmly founded and would be found that you would be loving God and loving your neighbor in eternity. What is the great summary of the commandments? Love God and love your neighbor. This is the first and great teaching of the Scripture. What do you think about the Christ? This is the second great teaching of the Scripture. That these two together are God's word for you as his baptized children. That these two together help make Scripture clear for you right now in the present, reeling from the effects of the past and being worked in by the Spirit for the future. In the name of Jesus, amen.